Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Jeff, I wanted to start with something that you told me that really caught my attention last time we spoke. You said that most people don't know about the constitutions of Avida Yoga, and that exactly why we need to slow down today and learn a little bit more about what the constitutions really are. Because a lot of people try yoga. They try stretching, fitness, or mobility work, but they still feel tight, stiff, frustrated, or in pain. So before we go into the three constitutions, let's make it very simple. What is Avida Yoga, and why does understanding the constitution of it matter?
Yeah, thank you, Stacy. Thanks for having me on your show again. You know, why is it that some people are not getting the results that they really are hoping to get from their yoga? And why do some people who go to yoga continue to feel stiff? And a lot of that has to do because people will try to kind of violate the unaware of the constitution they were essentially born with. They start to violate their constitution, trying to, in a way, do things that their body's not really designed to do. And in that sense, kind of become someone they may not be. And it's exactly why some people just are not drawn to any kind of yoga. You mention the word and they start to run, you know? And so there's a reason for that. And we can talk about that today.
I love it. So what do you mean by the constitution in Avida Yoga?
Well, it's not that Avida Yoga has constitutions. It's that the human body has constitutions. And there's what, 8 billion of us, and each of us have a different constitution. And so if you close your eyes a minute and just draw a big, long, imaginary line, and on one end of that line, you write the words loose, a loose constitution. And then the other end of the line, you write rigid, rigid constitution. And then each of us falls somewhere along that line. And to give it a little more perspective, there are constitutions who are remarkably balanced. And that's what I label the athletic constitution. It's how I address this in my book. So on the very end, one end you got loose, on the other end you got rigid. In the middle, you have this ideal sort of balanced body that these are the people who are naturally athletic. You know, you can kind of think Michael Jordan and Tom Brady and Mia Hamm and people like that, who their bodies will just about do anything they ask them to do. Then there are people who are naturally prone to develop muscle. They can build muscle very quickly, men and women. There are people who, no matter how hard they work, they have a hard time building muscle. It's how we come into the world. And if we can understand, that's the whole idea. That's why I wrote about this, is because if we can better understand the constitution we came in with, then we can better meet it where it is and strive for better health. And health, the idea of striving for health is very different than striving for fitness. So that's sort of the high level, and we can dig deeper, but how's that land for you?
It lands pretty good. It's a great explanation. Is this about like how someone's body naturally responds to movement, pain, and flexibility and stress?
Yeah, it is naturally how they'll respond. Like, okay, maybe this is, if we give an example of someone, you know, kind of referring back to the conversation, the last conversation we had, if someone is walking into a yoga class and they're on the rigid end of the spectrum and they try to accomplish poses and they look around the room and they see other bodies in the room doing these, what looks like kind of extraordinary things to them, they're either going to feel a little dejected, mm-hmm. and say, okay, I can't do this, I'm out of here. Or they may end up pushing themselves. And sometimes if their will is strong enough, we can override our constitution and get the body to do things that we think it should be able to do. But that has ramifications. There's costs that come with pushing the body into a box that it wasn't really designed to be in. And so that brings us back to this idea of Avida Yoga, where we pursue mobility. because I would say everyone has the ability to have healthy bones and joints. So we have to work with each kind of constitution in a way that allows them to drop into their bones and joints, where most of the problems these days occur. We need to be able to drop into that level. And so in that way, we can really work with a lot of different types of constitutions.
I love that. Now, why does knowing your constitution help someone practice in a safer and more effective way?
Well, I guess it's kind of what I said earlier about let's say it this way. If you're born with a loose constitution, what do you think people with a loose constitution would be drawn to? They're naturally inherently flexible. Mm-hmm. Tends to be mostly women, but there are men with very flexible constitutions as well. What are they going to be drawn to? Yoga, hot yoga, ballet, dance. Think about ballet. You have men and women up there.
Mm-hmm.
And a man with a tight constitution, as much as their parents want them to be in it, they're going to try it when they're kids and they're going to stumble. It's going to feel awkward. So they get spit out. But like, wow, this 12-year-old young boy who's inherently has a flexible constitution, his body moves in these atypical ways. Wow, he's able to do it and have fun and get a lot of respect, a lot of applause, you know, a lot of praise for what he's doing. And that's what feeds us. And then we naturally get drawn to do the things that we're already good at.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, we also have to watch if we keep doing the things, let me rephrase that, if we keep getting better at the things that we're already naturally good at,
mm-hmm.
then we can overdo it. We can kind of run the risk of injury, you know, and so we can overdo as well as, you know, underdo.
Right.
Does that help with that example?
Yes, it does. But what happens actually when people try to force their body into a practice where it doesn't match what they need?
Yeah. Well, let's imagine that same flexible boy that, let's make him, you know, 16 years old now. It's the same flexible boy. He would be a very natural dancer, a very natural ballet student. But what if his parents want him in football?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if he feels peer pressure to be in football? Football players need a certain amount of rigidity because they're getting knocked hard and they're falling to the ground. And yeah, the pads help. But if they don't have that inherent stability, then they're very likely to get injured. I've come to recognize that it's mostly people on the more rigid, from the kind of athletic center toward the rigid end of the spectrum, that are drawn to ski. You know, growing up here in Colorado, I've skied most of my life, and I tend to be on the rigid side of the scale. And to ski effectively, you need a certain amount of rigidity or real sense of stability. Otherwise, tendons get tweaked easily. You know, the ACL can pop and things like that. And so that's one way that I've really learned to almost be able to recognize these kinds of constitutions. There are certain body types that fit them as well. And then when we drop into a shape, in an Avita Yoga shape, you can tell pretty quickly where somebody lands on that spectrum.
Yeah, it's true. Now let's start with the flexible constitution. Like, a lot of people think that being flexible is automatically a good thing. What if flexible constitution, you know, what is the flexible constitution?
Well, the flexible constitution is what we've been talking about. It's this example of this boy, or it could be a girl, who just come into life flexible. Now, to get even a better understanding, we could go to the far extreme. There's this condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS. And these are people who it's just the name. It's just a label given to people with extreme flexibility. These are people who often end up in, you know, in the world of ice skating. These are the people that can easily spin and put one leg straight up in the air and hold their foot up over their head with both legs straight. These are people who are drawn to Cirque du Soleil and those kinds of things.
Right.
And now you get this example of someone with the ability that is using their natural given abilities to make a living doing these things. And, you know, it can work for a while. As long as youth is on our side, it can work pretty well. But there gets to be a point, usually in our 30s, 40s, where it starts to catch up and then the injuries start to show up. And
right.
it can be almost detrimental to have to shift careers and pull out of this thing that has defined you for so long.
That's true. And what are the strengths of this type?
What are the strengths of flexible constitution?
Yes.
Well, a flexible constitution, you know, I guess I don't really think that there are strengths. There are no strengths or weaknesses in any of them until you push yourself into doing something that you're not really meant or designed to do. And so the only, well, I'll say it this way, the strength would be in really understanding your constitution or one's constitution so that they don't try to push themselves into things that they can't do. And then for those people who are like on the more rigid end of the spectrum, those are the people who will just say, nope, I'm not going dancing tonight. I got two left feet. I don't dance. I don't.
Yeah.
Nope. Yoga. No way. Well, so then we'd say, well, okay, how would you like to have really good joint health the rest of your life? We can recognize that you don't have a flexible constitution, but how would you like to develop more mobility? See, we're born, the muscles have a certain degree of flexibility that we're inherently born with. And if we keep trying to stretch them and push them into a certain look or ability that we don't naturally have, that's where we get into trouble. So that's why in Avita Yoga, we don't stretch the muscles. And people like me, men and women who come to the class, they are very pleasantly surprised that they're doing these shapes that reveal the blockages in and around the joints where the fascia, you know, we've heard of the fascia. I call it the shiny white stuff that often gets overlooked because the muscles sort of steal the show. So it's the fascia that actually changes. It's very malleable. And that's what we target in the shapes in Avita Yoga. And that's why people can develop mobility and maintain a certain muscle quality for the rest of their life and still be very mobile.
Right. Now, what are some of the challenges or the risks?
The challenges or risks with?
For people who have a flexible constitution.
So if you have a flexible constitution and you're, going to one hot yoga class after another, it feeds you, it's fun, it's invigorating, it feels great when you're done, but then you walk out of the class and later you feel a little bit tight and a little bit stiff and you kind of need more of that. And so you keep coming back to it because those classes are targeting the muscles. It's a strength and stretch paradigm where the muscles are targeted. And if we keep stretching the muscles, they're trying to recover. They're constantly trying to go back to their original length and quality and shape. And that's what makes them feel a little bit tight and a little bit stiff. And eventually, if you don't really listen to that feedback and you keep a flexible person keeps pushing and pushing to get better and better at the poses, something usually starts to give. You know, you can actually develop joint problems doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also overstretch muscles. And if you start to overstretch muscles, you lose stability.
Mm.
And that loss of stability puts a negative impact into the joints.
Right. Now, can flexible people still have joint problems or pain?
Well, yeah. No, that's sort of a myth to think that flexibility equals comfort. And it quite honestly is mobility that results in a lot of comfort, you know, because we're not going to the doctors and surgeons to get muscle replacements. We're going for joint replacements.
Yeah.
And so if there's a way to avoid that and keep joints healthy, you know, that's what a lot of people who practice are signing up for.
What does this type, which is the flexible people, need the most from Avita Yoga?
If somebody's already flexible, they have a flexible constitution, then why would they sign up for Avita Yoga?
Mm-hmm.
They would sign up for Avita Yoga to develop stability. We all know, so we want more stability, but we also want to keep the joints healthy. So a very flexible constitution tends to lack a certain degree of stability that causes joints to often be a little bit overly mobile as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a loose, overly mobile joint is very prone to arthritis. And then once arthritis sets in, then you have degeneration. So if we can catch that soon enough, and this is the trickiest thing with the Vita Yoga, and really with these, with the loose constitution is in general, is how do you keep the joints healthy and develop some stability at the same time?
Right.
And the problem tends to be a little bit compounded because flexible people want to feel their bodies. Mm-hmm. It feels so good to them to stretch and feel their bodies. Whereas the person on the rigid end of the spectrum says, I'm tired of feeling my body. They don't seek sensation ever. But people with flexible constitutions, they're constantly seeking sensation, and they love that kind of tight, muscly, almost painful feedback that comes from stretching and pushing yoga poses.
Right.
And so in a Vita Yoga, the tricky thing with these people is we're not going to be in their muscles.
Right.
We're not going to be stretching them. So
yeah. They
come into a shape, they're not going to get the sensation that they love and crave.
Yeah.
But their joint is going to get the compression that it loves and craves. And so that's why I often say, don't seek more sensation.
Right.
Sensation is not the goal. What is the goal? Inner peace, joint health, lasting mobility.
Right.
So that's what just keeps bringing us back to the bones, back to the joints. And that's why we call them shapes and not poses. And that's what makes it very, very different than any other yoga that we're used to seeing out.
I love that. Now, let's talk about the person who says, I'm not flexible enough for a Vita Yoga. Mm-hmm. Now, is that such a common belief?
Yeah. Yeah, that's super common. It's a pretty common topic. Anytime I'm, say, having dinner with people I've just met, you know, or traveling and meeting people, and, you know, you have that conversation, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a yoga teacher. It's fun to see what comes out of people's mouth the moment I say that, because they don't say, oh, what kind of yoga? They don't say, oh, how's that impacted your life? Wow, never thought of a 63-year-old guy teaching yoga. What's that like? No. The first thing out of their mouth is, oh God, I need to stretch more. Or, oh my God, you know, I tried yoga once and I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now it's kind of a bummer that the world of yoga has moved so far into extremes to the point where only those who are capable mm-hmm. are drawn to do it. And
right.
then they run the risk of overdoing it. So then we start to get into this conversation. Sometimes I never push these conversations, but if they're curious, then we start getting into kind of a conversation that we're having right now, where we might say, well, hey, I get it. I understand you feel tight and rigid in your body and you're not drawn to any kind of yoga, or even stretching is just painful and you don't like it. But what if there was a reason for that?
Right.
You know, and as we talked about in our last episode, flexibility is not one of the four characteristics of muscles. So mm-hmm. why should stretching muscles feel good to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it feels good to those with a flexible constitution. It's not what they need more of.
Right.
So this is why I dedicated quite a bit of my book to helping people wrap their minds around this, so that you could read through them and go, oh my gosh, this is the category that I fit into. And it takes some of the pressure off.
Yeah.
It takes some of the pressure off of what you think you should be able to do. And it opens doors to what you could be able to do.
Right. Now, what is the rigid constitution?
The rigid constitution is just someone who's born with inherent rigidity. It's how we're wired. Okay, so to get into the constitution, you know, what is it that makes someone loose or rigid or right smack dab in the middle or anywhere along the line?
Mm-hmm.
It's how we're wired.
Right.
It's the nervous system, because the muscles are always responding to the nervous system. When you make a fist, your nervous system is telling the muscles in the front of your hand, the palmar side of your hand, to contract. But it's simultaneously instructing the muscles on the back of your hand to release. Muscles don't relax on their own. They have to be told to relax.
Right.
So it's called reciprocal innervation. And we take advantage of that in the Avita practice. We want our muscles to work just as fully as our joints.
Right.
So it actually all goes hand in hand when we drop down to that really foundational layer. Will you repeat the question?
I wanted to know why rigid or stiff people often avoid yoga.
Yeah. So now you have a person with this, with rigidity, and it just doesn't feel right to stretch their muscles. A, they may not be really designed to stretch. And B, if they would, or when they are open to trying something a little bit different, where we access the joints themselves, then they actually start to get results.
Now, are they misunderstanding about their body?
Oh man, who really understands their body? It takes a lifetime. Yeah, I mean, I was just reading a book today that said that some huge percentage, 80, 90% of the people just live in their heads. We think we're a head walking around, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the beauty of body-centered practices. There's hundreds of them.
Right.
Anything that kind of gets us out of our head and into the body and really experimenting with it.
Right.
You know, Socrates said, an unexamined life is not worth living, which is a very extreme statement, but mm-hmm. there may be some truth to that. And the moment we start to be willing to experiment, then we can, even if it's for 5 minutes, we get out of our head and into the body.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you can just close your eyes for a moment and lie on your back and maybe put your legs up on the wall and support your head a little bit and close your eyes and turn your head to one side and feel into the rigidity that may be in your neck, you know, just turning into the limit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I often say in yoga is we kindly bump into the limit.
Right.
At the level of the joints. And how many, you got a whole bunch of joints in your neck. So there you are, turning your neck, and the ones that are rigid are the ones that show up, and then we spend a little bit of time there. And that's what fascia and joints need, is a little bit of time and compression to release and unwind, you know?
Yeah.
So you could have your knees bent, feet on the floor, and close your eyes and simply bring one knee toward the chest, or say right knee to right shoulder, and interlock your fingers over the knee. It's a very simple shape, but it can address a lot of complexity in the knee and the hip. And we close the eyes, we breathe through the nose, we listen to the feedback, and we merge. And as I mentioned in the last episode, because the overarching goal is inner peace, now is getting the knee to touch the shoulder the goal?
Right.
No, inner peace is the goal. So now I go, oh yeah, peace is the goal. So now let me bring my knee toward my shoulder and let me bump into the limit. If I push harder, if I pull my knee harder toward me, oh, that's painful. That doesn't feel good. Okay, let's back out a little bit and find healing sensation. Oh my gosh. Now I can drop my shoulders. I can breathe easy through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
My mind will merge with this sensation in my hip and my knee and even the compression in my fingers. And now I have something that's evoking change and leading me right to my peaceful center.
Right. How can Avida Yoga help someone who feels tight, limited, or afraid of, you know, that they can't do it?
Well, it's just that. That's how simple we can begin. That's one of many entry shapes where we drop the idea of accomplishing a pose and we move very slowly and we experience thousands of little poses along the way as we really move toward what would be considered full range of motion for a joint, you know, and respecting the fact that we all have different shapes and qualities around our joints. Your hip joint is shaped different than my hip joint. And so we can't expect you to be able to do the same, us to be able to accomplish the same things. That's why it's very dangerous to develop this idea that I should be able to accomplish a certain pose or certain look and perform in front of mirrors and things like that if my constitution doesn't match what I'm doing. Get into some trouble pretty fast, or you just get spit out and you give up on it.
Right. And would you say that to someone who thinks that they're too stiff to start, that that's not true?
Yeah. No, I've never seen one too stiff to start Avita Yoga. It's amazing. Here's a funny story. I had a student, his name was John, and he was 83 when he discovered Avita Yoga. And he practiced with me for a couple years, and he actually passed. As a student of mine, he passed on, and he became a close friend. We'd have lunch together, just a dear, dear man. And he would often joke with me after his very consistent practice. He'd come to 3 classes a week very consistently. And he would joke, he'd say, "Geez, Jeff, I sure wish I would have discovered Avita when I was 79.
Mm-hmm.
And he was about as rigid as they come. his constitution a little bit like mine. I may, if I weren't practicing this, I would easily be on a trajectory to be as rigid as he was at that age. But it didn't matter. He got results.
Yeah.
He felt better getting up in the morning and putting his pants on. Mm-hmm. That's how practical we want this to be. And so we want to make sure that our short-term goals, you know, what we're doing today, how do we know what we're doing today is going to help us tomorrow?
Right.
I mean, that's where we got to slow down and look at our makeup, look at our constitution, look in our hearts and learn more about who and what we are.
Right.
Along the way. And that way we're not just pushing for something that may or may not work for us in the long run.
Right. Exactly. Now, the third one is athletic constitution, like the person mm-hmm. who feels like I can do anything. You know, what is this constitution?
Yeah. Yeah, these are the people just born naturally athletic. You know, Tom Brady doesn't play football anymore, but I think of him as a great example because how many times has he been knocked to the ground?
Yeah.
Many, many times. And yes, he's had some injuries, but he always bounces back.
Right.
You know, much more flexible than him or more rigid than him would never be able to sustain that kind of a career and right. those kind of hits. So there's a, in that, when you're right smack dab in the middle of the spectrum, there's a resiliency mm-hmm. that is just inherent, and they tend to build the right amount of muscle.
Right.
They tend not to have a desire to really bulk up and put on a lot of muscle. It's ironically people who are a little bit on the flexible side who have an inherent ability to really put on muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And then that can become a problem because you get a lot of muscle bulk. It actually starts to insulate the muscles and it kind of protects them
yeah.
in a way that doesn't allow them to get the pressure and the full use that they really deserve and want.
Right.
So the athletic guy or gal, they're the ones that we pay good money to watch oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now, why can athletic people sometimes push too hard?
Well, they're the ones that can get away with pushing hard. They can get away with it better than anybody else on the other extremes.
Right.
And, you know, so I would invite you to take these concepts, have some fun with it. And next time you're watching a sport on TV, you can really see it. Football is a pretty good place to see it because you have linemen. You have these heavy linemen that they've got to get down in the athletic stance. They have to put their knuckles on the ground. They got to get down low. So they need flexibility just to get down there.
Right.
And you're not going to take some guy who's rigid, inherently rigid. You're not going to ever get them to stay down there and like it. Or think about a baseball catcher. He's squatting. He's spending his life squatting. Or the difference between a hockey goalie and the rest of the team.
Right.
But if we go back to the football line, you got these flexible guys who also can, it's interestingly enough, it's the flexible constitutions that can put on weight. Stiff guys especially tend to be leaner.
Mm-hmm.
And they have more of a vata, a little bit more of a drier constitution. Flexible people are more kapha. They can put on more weight. And that's why you have these linemen down there.
Yeah.
They're not fast. But every once in a while, you see these guys get these weird injuries where, you know, they an ACL goes or they, you know, they get these ankle strains and stuff like that. It doesn't mean that the quarterback is not also going to be prone to it.
Right.
Or that it's not going to happen in extreme situations. We've seen that.
Yeah.
But just play with it and look at the linemen, look at the receivers, look at the difference between linebackers and the defensive line and
mm-hmm.
and you can see, especially at the professional level, how we're dialing it in. We're just dialing it in and you know, and this is what now they're doing in the Olympics. They've been doing it for a long time. They know. They see this young girl who's 3 years old.
Yeah.
These guys spend their lives understanding constitution, and they know, you know, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, your daughter could be a gold medal ice skater.
Right.
Let's get her involved now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there they go. Sure enough, they're on that trajectory.
So true. How can strength or discipline like become a problem if there's someone that ignores the pain or the feedback?
Well, I guess you can ignore the pain, ignore the feedback, and just keep pushing through it. A lot of people do because we've been conditioned to think that pain is actually gain.
Yeah.
And so I will often joke, well, if you're consistently pushing through pain or pushing yourself in extremes,
yeah,
make sure you're getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's going to be a cost to it down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to say, well, why? What's in it for me if I'm really consistently pushing through pain?
Right.
And I've seen plenty of people push through pain and have SI, sacroiliac problems. You can push through hip pain, like a torn labrum will be mildly painful in the beginning. And you think that you're doing a good thing by kind of pushing through it. Mm-hmm. Well, then it just tears more and a severely torn labrum will lead to degeneration and a hip replacement. So so that's one of the things that we teach in Avita Yoga is how to discern the difference between pain and healing sensation. And
right.
It's surprising how often we have to back people off the edge.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. We've been conditioned to think of pain as a good thing.
Right. And what does Avita Yoga, teach athletic people that, traditional training may not?
What does Avita Yoga teach athletic people that traditional training may not? Self-acceptance. That's what it all boils down to. That's what we're talking about here is really accepting yourself where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, so important. Because if I don't accept myself for who I am, then I'm creating conflict right off the bat.
Right.
And then I'm trying to resolve that conflict by making myself look like something that I'm not or striving for something that may be a real stretch for me. And so that's where it all begins. And once again, what's the goal? The primary goal is peaceful presence, because that's what yoga has been about for centuries.
Yes.
And we've converted into this thing that's just a bodily push. And so we say, okay, well, let's remind ourselves, peace is the goal. Let's come into a shape. Let's close the eyes. Let's find the healing sensation. Let's spend some time there. Go through a 30, 45, 60 minute class and then get up and go on with your day and see how you feel.
Mm-hmm. So true. And how can, they learn to move smarter instead of just harder?
Well, Avita will do that naturally. It will do it automatically. That's a big question, Stacy, because again, why do we go to the gym? You go to the gym and just look around and watch a little bit and you'll see the push. And I'm not saying it's wrong to not push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying watch your mind and be very aware of why you're pushing. What is the goal? What's the outcome you want? Is it going to match your long-term goals? Because like Mark Twain said, youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah.
And so we can get away with so much in our youth and then find out, whoops, this has kind of been working against me. And if you catch it soon enough, people will drop out of the thing that is, they really listen, they'll drop out and do something different. And that can be a good thing. But sometimes we just keep pushing, pushing, pushing.
Right.
And we wonder why we need to have a hip replacement.
Now, this is where I really want people to understand the difference. So most people think yoga is about doing poses better, but Avita Yoga sounds like it is about listening to the body differently. So how is this different from regular yoga?
Well, regular yoga, okay, there is yin yoga that's very passive. It's said to address the joints, but in most of the yin that I see, it still is these long, sort of muscly, stretchy things. And and that's lovely that people can be really drawn to that. That's fine. But it still kind of targets the muscles.
Right.
Then you've got the, vinyasa, the flowy yogas and those kinds of things. And those tend to evolve toward getting better at poses. I want a better look. You know, it's why they have mirrors and the teacher comes around and they try to adjust you to either be more safe in the shape that will sometimes take very helpful joint pressure out of the equation, or it will maybe a little too quickly move someone toward a position that they're not really designed for. It gets tricky.
Yeah.
And so you know, again, we will always find what we're seeking. There's no doubt. Seek and you will find.
Right.
So it just begs the question, what do you really want? What is it that you're seeking? And why?
Right.
What is this for? And so in my world and what I've found with a lot of the people around me is that we get to this point where I can answer that question. Hey, Jeff, I'm 60 years old now, and I can tell you exactly what I want. I want independence. I'd rather not end up in assisted living. I'd like to be able to put my own clothes on the rest of my life. I'd
right.
like to have fun. I'd like to be able to hang out with my grandchildren and my children and travel with them and do fun things.
Right.
Those are my goals. Okay. We almost all get to that point somewhere after the two or three decades where we're trying to look better, be better, put ourselves in a certain category, things like that. And it's just all part of life's journey. None of it's wrong.
Right.
It's just, you know, I guess that's why we're here talking on this podcast. It's part of the reason I wrote the book is that maybe it can save someone a little time.
Yeah.
And save them a little pain, maybe even some hassle and some cost to know there's another way.
Right. Can you tell everybody a little about your book and what it's called?
Yeah, the book is called Mobility for Life. That good timing on that, Stacy, because that's the idea. That's why it's not called, you know, Strengthen Your Body Today.
Right.
You know, it's not called Develop a flexible Body Now.
Right.
It's called Mobility for Life.
Yes.
And we're using the word for in both meanings.
Mm-hmm.
I want it for my lifetime. Ideally, I'd like to remain mobile and independent for the duration of my life. But I also want mobility for a happy, healthy lifestyle today.
Right. I love that. I love that. Now, if there's one thing you want people to understand about their constitution and their body, what would that be?
Well, just develop a playful attitude around it. And, you know, if some of these concepts landed, this took me years to put together, writing it in the book and explaining it in my teacher trainings multiple times, you know, has allowed me to be able to be fairly fluent with describing this to you right off the cuff here on your show. So I don't expect people to understand it quickly. It's a big shift. And so if any part of it landed, then play with it. Watch yourself. Look at yourself. Watch your family members. Watch your friends. See how they move. See what they're drawn to. When you watch sports, people like to watch sports. Watch how people move.
Mm-hmm.
It's no accident that people are, you know, that professionals are doing what they're doing.
Right.
And so we can learn a lot by watching them and then kind of looking around. And that's all I've done. I've spent a lot of time asking questions and watching people move.
Yeah, I love it. Now, can you tell everybody about the services that you provide?
Yeah. After a decade in a yoga studio here in Boulder, it was shortly after COVID that I decided to sell the studio and take everything online. So I have Avita Yoga online now, and I have playlists that I think is one of the best ways to go through the program. You start with series one and you go through the various playlists.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long series of classes that are designed to take you safely and confidently through your joints.
Yeah.
Why? To have healthier, more mobile, more long-lasting joints.
Yeah.
Series one is a series of 14 classes where I describe the fundamentals of the practice, which is so different that it just takes a little time to wrap your mind around what we're doing, because we're all familiar with going to the gym and pushing weight around. We're all familiar with stretching, but we're not familiar with joint hygiene.
Right.
And so I'm just sort of, you know, I find hopefully a conversation like this is very helpful to someone, but I've done my best to inspire and inform people into a whole new thing. It's kind of like, you know, imagine being the person who invented the toothbrush. You know, how long did it take for that to catch on?
Right.
It took a while.
Yeah.
But we all do it now because it keeps our gums healthy.
Right.
you know? So that's how I think of Avita Yoga. It may not really catch on in my lifetime, but I'm hoping that my younger teachers that are out there teaching it, they can carry it forward. And maybe over decades, it might become something that people are really more of a household idea.
Right.
We'll see. Time will tell.
I think it will. Definitely. Definitely.
Thank you for your vote of confidence.
Now, where can people find you?
Boulder, Colorado right now, but Avita Yoga Online, A-V-I-T-A, yogaonline.com, and mobilityforlifebook.com is the book, and you can find it all there and get some free classes and give it a try. Carve out a little time. You know, it only takes, I have 30, 45, and 60-minute classes, and it doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes some consistency.
Right.
You know, back to the teeth. How long does it take to brush your teeth? It doesn't take that long, but you got to do it at least 6 or 7 times a week, you know, and ideally morning and night. What is that? 14 times.
Right.
You know, and so it's consistency just like that, that adds up and makes a world of difference. So I found 3 times a week, 3 to 4 times a week is really a nice amount of time with different, you can choose a length of class that works for you.
I love it. And for the listeners out there, I want you to remember that your body is always giving you your feedback, that the question is whether you're listening or you're forcing it into something that was never meant for you. So Avita Yoga gives people a different way to understand pain, stiffness, flexibility, strength, and aging. And I got to say, Jeff, this has been a really great conversation, a very unique conversation, because you don't hear about the constitutions of Avita Yoga or any other yoga. So I think this has been great to look at the different types of constitutions in yoga class and to understand it better and understand our bodies better and to maybe have some, you know, understand that we need to have more consistency when it comes to really taking the time to understand our bodies and how our body thinks and how our body talks to us and how it works and start listening to what our body's telling us, because our body talks to us every single day and it's our choice if we listen or not. And it can make a huge difference if we become listeners and we actually put things into action. When our body says we need this, we actually do it. Because when you do that, you'll start to see a huge difference in the way you feel, the way you think, and in your entire life will be a kind of like a reset in a sense. So I'm glad you came on the show today to talk about this. This is a great conversation, and I look forward to our next conversation in the near future.
Thank you very much, Stacey. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.